So if you got your heart open, I want you to get your Bible open. I want to get your pen out. And while I'm not going to rush through this, at the same time, I'm not going to go into the depth that I might normally would. I'm not going to take us deep into the afternoon, nothing like that. But there are some things that need to be shared that I'm convinced I've been working toward all week long. So look at your neighbor and say, there is spiritual understanding. See, there's natural understanding and there's spiritual understanding. And the Bible says that you might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I can take you through the New Testament, and I can show you in Scripture after Scripture where fruitfulness and understanding are tied together. You can see it in the Word of God. You can see it in the book of Colossians where he says the riches of the full assurance of understanding. When understanding opens up, you start moving into the 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's what he said in Matthew's gospel about the parable of the sower. He said in the parable of the sower, when you sow on good ground, those that hear the word and understand it bring forth fruit. The Bible tells us that when we pray in tongues, our understanding is unfruitful, but when we pray in English, our understanding begins to bear fruit. You need to realize that there are some things that when you're praying out, it's important for you to stay in it long enough till your spirit man can teach your mind. See, the problem is we've been trying to be led about by our mind, and we're trying to teach our spirit through our mind. If you have to understand it before you believe it.
Wow.
Come on. I'm going to make a statement right here, and then we're going to just dive in, okay? If you have to understand it before you believe it, your mind is in the lead.
That's good.
This is a simple spiritual law, but faith people ought to at least know this law. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand. So if you can understand this spiritual law, you can see why the American church is so anemic. So your spirit man is supposed to be the one in the lead. And so, what we need to understand is that, and I'm going to make a statement, if you want to write it down, it'll help you. It's a spiritual law. If I have to understand it before I believe it, my soul is in the lead. But if I believe it, you hear me? If I believe it, all right, it will manifest or bring the understanding of it. Through faith, we understand.
Yeah.
Through faith. Now he says, through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. There's two thoughts here. One is, we understand this is how God did it. He did it through faith. But the bigger spiritual law is, it's through faith we understand. Because if you don't understand faith, you're not going to understand God. Because God's a faith God, and that's the way he operates. And so if you don't have an understanding of some things about the heavenly substances that God uses and the spirit realm, some spiritual understanding of the law of faith, your head's going to be in the lead and not your spirit, right? Now, I'm going to say it one more time so I can get it right and you can get it down in your spirit, right? All right? If I have to understand it before I believe it, my mind's in the lead. Yeah. So we don't understand it so we can believe it. We believe it so we can understand it.
Right. Amen.
We don't have to understand it so we can believe it. We believe it so that we can understand it.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. We don't have to understand it so that we can believe it. We must believe it so that we can understand it.
That's right.
Now, if this word came out effective, then here's what we're going to do. We're going to open with a scripture that is very, very important. Philemon, the book of Philemon, which we're in Hebrews here. So just back up one book. It's actually only a page or two in your Bible. Could probably be one page, but just depending upon how your Bible's broken out, it could be two pages. There are no chapters here. It's a simple letter that Paul wrote, but I want to focus on one verse, verse 6. We'll look at verse 6, because the word of the Lord very clearly came to us this morning, and he spoke to us out of James chapter 5 about being effectual. Somebody say effectual. Effective or effectual. Now notice what's in this verse. That the communication of your faith may become effectual. Now you need to understand that there's a couple things we're going to talk about here, and this is huge, because God has dealt to every man. Look at your neighbor and say, you. That means you.
You.
That means you. Every person in the sound of my voice has faith. Now, I'm going to make a statement ahead of time because I'm going to give you the scripture to support it. But the substance of the thing you're hoping for is in that faith. The substance of it is in that faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means you have it. God is no respecter of persons. And he said, nothing is impossible to them that believe. The word impossible is the Greek word adunateo. Dunamis is dynamite. It literally means ability. All right? Impossible in the English, right, would be not possible. And the word possible is two words, possess, ability. All right? So if it's possible, you possess the ability to do it. If it's impossible, you do not possess the ability to do it. Now, we know faith connects to this because Caleb and Joshua said those exact words, let us go up at once. See, the time goes out the window when you believe you possess the ability to do it. See, a lot of people don't realize that they're not fully persuaded until they believe they can do it at once. Until the time factor gets out of the way, you're not ready. As long as you keep putting that off in the future, you're not ready. Caleb and Joshua, when the spirit of faith comes on you, here's what you will say. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. Now see, faith connects to ability to get something done. This is very important. Faith connects you to the ability to get it done. So when he says nothing is impossible to them that believe, it's the Greek word adunateo. And the English word translated impossible means possible means possessing ability. Impossible means not possessing ability. Adunateo means a, not, like for the I am in the English, it would be the A in the Greek, all right? And we see adunateo to possess ability, and the A means you don't possess the ability. So when Jesus used, he used this very word several times, but one of the places he used this word was in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, when the disciples asked him, how come we could not? How come we did not possess the ability to cast out this demon? Well, they did have the faith. You know, but he said, because of your unbelief. But we know they had it because he had already transferred the authority against every unclean spirit, against every manner of sickness and every manner of disease, and they had already done it. So what's going on here? And then, of course, by the time he gets to verse 20, he said, if you had faith, now look at this, if you had faith, here in Matthew 17, 20, we'll come back to Philemon 6 in a moment, but he said, if you had faith, he said, you couldn't cast this devil out because of your unbelief. The unbelief there is a Greek word which means uncertainty. So you need to realize that any element doesn't mean you don't have faith. It means your faith, that you're not at the place of full persuasion. Your faith, you've allowed some contaminant into your faith to where you're not certain it's going to happen when you act on it. And so doubt literally means to hesitate. It doesn't mean you don't believe. It means you're just not so fully persuaded you're ready to go for it now. So anytime Satan can put enough contamination in your faith where you hesitate, you're done for. Don't do what the Israelites did. When they wouldn't go up, and then they realized they were going to die in the wilderness and decided, oh, we'll go now, we'll go now. We didn't know we were going to die. And then they went up and got their rear end kicked. They did that because that hesitation means you're trying this thing, you're not doing it. See, you're not certain, you're not persuaded. And that's literally what it says in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, it says they entered not into the promise. And this is Hebrews chapter 3. Because of unbelief. All right, there are several scriptures in Hebrews 3 says they didn't go into the promised land because of unbelief. The Bible calls that an evil heart of unbelief. Last night I pointed out to you in this passage of scripture, Matthew 17, he said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. To be faithless is to be perverted. For a believer not to believe is perversion. I want you to understand, for you not to live by faith, in this kingdom, this is the way you live. So for you not to live by faith as a Christian is perverted. So I want you to get clear, it's an evil heart. Romans says, what is not of faith is sin. See, we're not treating it like we ought to. Doubt is sin. It's stubbornness, it's stiff-necked idolatry, it's God says I can, but I'm going to say I can't, and I believe me more than I believe God. Your opinion has become your own idol. Doubt is a damnable thing. You do not want any of it. It is demonic. It is unhealthy. It is unholy. It will kill you. It will open the door to fear. You don't want it. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Why? Because the just shall
live.
See, this is what you got to understand. Faith connects you to life.
Yes. Amen.
See, you couldn't get eternal life till you believed.
Nope.
He that doubts is damned, right? And so we see Jesus said, I go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so what I have to do is I have to believe. If I believe in my heart he rose from the dead and confess with my mouth he's Lord, then I'll be saved and I move into eternal life. Why? Because faith is the Zoe life connector. The just shall live by faith. Why? Because faith accesses the life source of heaven.
Glory.
See, you're dying. The moment you quit believing is the day you start dying. It's the day your project starts dying. It's the day your situation starts dying. It's decaying. It's temporary. It's dying. So it's very important for us to understand that this is the way God raises the dead and makes alive dead things. The Bible says so. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, God who quickeneth the dead, Romans 4:20, God who makes alive the dead by calling those things that be not as though they were. This is how God does it.
Right.
He speaks faith-filled words and transfers life into a dead, disorderly, chaotic situation.
That's true.
It's the way He operates, and we're created in His image.
Yes, right.
It's how the planet came into order. It's how life came out of the ground. It's how Jesus came out of the ground. It's how you were born again, and it's how you're supposed to live.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You gotta be true to that nature.
It's His nature. Faith is God's nature.
Yes.
There's no doubt in God.
Right.
One time I heard God say, I don't doubt your existence. Why do you doubt me?
Wow.
God doesn't doubt you exist. Why would you doubt He does?
Right. Yeah. Come on.
See? So we need to understand. Now, when we go back to Matthew 17, 20, look at what it says here. And we're working our way back to Philemon 6. When we go to the scripture here in Matthew 17, 20, it tells us that nothing, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, right? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, Matthew 17, 20. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. That tells you right now, this scripture tells you, faith works like a seed.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You would say, second law of faith is, the way you plant the seed of faith is to say something. Faith works like a seed, and the way you plant it is to say something. If you had faith, you would say. So you can know when you're not fully persuaded in an area by what you're saying. Because if you had it, you'd be saying something different. Come on now. So you can locate your faith real quick by developing a discipline to listening to yourself talk.
Come on.
So he's saying here, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. Now notice what you're going to say. Be thou removed hence to yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing, no thing, this is a double negative now, on purpose, this is a double negative on purpose, no thing shall be impossible.
Come on.
So faith is the connector
right.
to the ability to do anything in
right.
the kingdom.
Amen.
And it's very important to see this, because that word impossible is that Greek word I'm talking about, adunateo. And it means not to be able to, not be able to do it. Now, what he's saying here, because it's a double negative, is he's saying when you're operating in faith, there is nothing you will be unable to do. Oh, glory be to God. He's saying that when you get in the faith realm, there is nothing you and I will be unable to do. So let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you is that faith is what connects us to that ability. And the word ability comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means the might and the ability that God Himself had when He created the planet. So when the ability God used to create is what faith is. Because faith is the substance He used to create the physical planet. Oh, glory be to God. don't know if I'm helping anybody, but I'm telling you. And this substance that God used to create the planet, you have in you.
Right.
Because you have it in you in seed form, there is nothing you will be unable to do if you will just plant it.
Come on.
But you've got to learn that you have it. You're not going to get it. Oh, you can learn how to get it and you can learn how to use it. But I'm saying you already have a measure that if you'll begin to develop and operate in that measure, it'll come forth the blade, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear, and there's nothing you will be unable to do. Do you remember what the Holy Ghost said when He was teaching us in the ninth session that the tongue is the hand of the Spirit man? I want to remind you what He said as He closed the service. The Holy Ghost said, if you can get a hold of this, you can get a hold of anything. See, I've learned from Romans chapter 10 that if you can get something in your heart and your mouth, you can get it into your life. If I can get that word in my heart and I can get that word in my mouth, I can get it into my life because I can get a hold of it and I can pull it out of tomorrow and I can pull it into today. I can get a hold of it in heaven and I can pull it down to earth. Faith is the connector with the ability and the force to make anything happen. And it's very important to understand this, because if we understand this, now we're at a place to begin to live life effectually. Now, Brother Jack connected this when he was talking about this word effective in James 5. He connected this when he said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Notice the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and then he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So clearly faith is involved to make your prayer effective.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work.
Right.
See, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people praying, and it's not going to change your situation until somebody with faith gets in there. See, faith is what makes prayer work. Not prayer doesn't make faith work. A bunch of big bunch of prayer doesn't mean you got faith. No, big bunch of words doesn't mean you're doing it right. No. You can call all the prayer towers you want. You can call the 800 hotlines you want to call. You know, you can call a fasting prayer chain. But I'm telling you, fasting, right, doesn't make faith work. Faith makes fasting work. Because fasting without faith is going hungry. And you need to understand that the word, right? So we've got to get to that place to where we recognize the high value that faith has in our life.
Amen.
So that we begin to live by it. And we're not just hearers only, but we're doers. Now we got to quit living on the coattails of somebody else's faith.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're going to wait till Sunday to hope it might work when you get in the altar and empty hands are rubbed on your empty head. But no, God wants you to walk in victory on Monday. And God wants you to walk in victory on Tuesday. And God wants you to walk in victory on Wednesday. Now, I know I'm running like a machine. I get that. But just trust me, even though when you're using a water hose, most of the water goes out the other end, the inside of the hose gets wet. I realize you can't catch this with your mind. I realize that I can sense it coming up in me and just flushing out of me into you. But you can buy the CD. You can get the flash drive. You can stop it and you can stop me. You can rewind me. You can let me go back. You can take notes. But right now, I'm going to be like that person that's got that pressure injector with that oil trying to put it in that frozen bolt, because we got to break you loose into believing that you can do something more than what you've done. It is time for you to get effective in your Christian walk. It is time for you to rise up and walk in victory. It is time for you to know that you can have days of heaven on earth. It is time for you to quit walking around calling normal what God calls a curse. And you do that by faith. Glory be to God. If we're going to get effective. Now there's two thoughts I have. We're going to go back to Philemon 6. As we bring it up, I'm going to refer to James 5. But I want to bring Philemon 6 up so that we can tie this word effective. You know, the word effective is a powerful thing. It means there's a divine energy release that's going to make a change. Now, there's something about the laws in the natural realm, because what we've discovered about the natural realm is God created it. And even though we're not subject to these laws, Jesus taught about seed time and harvest and fish and all that. So He used natural laws to explain spiritual truths so we can understand some things. Now, the anointing is like that. The anointing is a substantive power, all right? But it flows under certain laws. I mean, if you study the water in the earth and the way it flows, electricity in the earth and the way it flows, you can start learning some things about the power of God, because it flows like that. There are things that shield it. There are things that conduct it. There are things that cause it to go out of its course. There are things that put it in its proper order. And so if we can learn these laws, because it's not abstract, it's concrete. If we can learn these laws, we can put faith to work on purpose. We can bring the power of God on the scene. We can start operating in the anointing.
Glory.
And it's important to learn these laws and to realize it's available to us.
Amen.
Some of the laws of motion are phenomenal. And one of the laws that Newton found about physics and something in motion is that an object that is in motion tends to stay in motion until it's acted on by another force.
Right.
That's effect.
Right.
Well, there you go.
That's effect.
Amen.
See, now, this is exactly what you're reading about in James 5 when he talked about Elijah. We didn't read the verses. Like I said, I'm charging toward Philemon 6, so I'm just going to tell you what it says in case you don't know. It tells the story of Elijah. When it says that he was a righteous man, and the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
Amen.
What that verse says in James 5 is that verse tells us that the first thing that happens, well, maybe I better go back there. I'll do that. I'll do that, Lord, because I need to help them. Can I slow down enough to help you with this? I'm telling you, this is life-changing.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it will change your world.
Amen.
It's worth the investment. If you'll give me just a few minutes, it'll be worth the investment.
Sure.
James chapter 5, let's look at it so I can slow down a little bit. It'll come out a little bit better. And I think it'll come out better because you'll hear it better, understand it better, and receive it better. Amen?
Amen.
James chapter 5, I want you to look at what happened. Now this is, I'm going to give you an example of the way things work in the spirit realm. He says here, verse 15 starts with the prayer of faith. Say the prayer of faith.
Prayer.
So obviously the prayer, say prayer.
Prayer.
The prayer of faith is going to change the condition of this situation. The guy's sick, he's going to be healed. The condition changes. Now, I want you to think in terms of like the woman with the issue of blood. She did absolutely everything she knew in her physical strength to get better, but grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. There had to be something to act on that situation that was set in motion to change its motion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the way it was going was going to stay in motion, going that direction. Because the laws had been set for it to go that way. And the only way that you're going to supersede something is act on it with a higher power. That's why the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. When you throw a ball, the reason it slows down and eventually falls to the earth is because it's being acted on by an unseen force called gravity. If there was no gravity in space, you can throw a ball and it'll keep going because it's not acted on by another force. Whatever's in motion in your life is set in motion, and it's going to stay in motion because you've spiritually set it in motion by circumstances and accepting circumstances and by words and thoughts. And you keep having what you say because you keep saying what you have because you're keeping it in motion. You're not acting on it with another force. Oh, come on now. Am I helping anybody? See, this is growing. This is growing worse instead of better. But in this woman with the issue of blood, it got acted on by another force. Faith caused the dynamic ability that was in Jesus to go to action in her body, and it acted on her body with a greater force than the disease was acting on it.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Because life went in there instead of death. Because life is more powerful than death. Now, Elijah did the same thing right here. Now, here he's talking about a sick person in verse 15 where he says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. So we see that faith then brings an ability into the situation to change the direction it's headed.
Amen.
So he talks about this faith in action in prayer through Elijah's life in an Old Testament example. Here's what he says. Confess your faults one to another, verse 16, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the actual Greek means makes tremendous power available. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, and it's going to help you. But let's read on down and see the situation. Elias, that is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, which means his righteousness didn't have anything to do with if he woke up feeling depressed. This is something you got to understand, that whether or not you know you're the righteous of God in Christ is going to affect your prayer life. How come? Because a person whose heart is filled with condemnation cannot believe that God would do it for them. They feel unworthy to receive it, and you cannot judge yourself worthy to receive something you don't feel that you're worthy to have. If it doesn't belong to you right now, you're not going to act on it. Isn't that right? So we need to understand that our righteousness consciousness will affect our prayer life because it affects our faith. So here's what he says. He says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not. Now this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Because we don't actually see Elijah praying earnestly until it starts raining again. But yet he's identified as praying earnestly when it stopped raining. But the Bible doesn't record that he did the same thing when it stopped raining that it did when he started raining. Now this is big. This is really big. If you've got ears to hear, I'm praying you're going to hear this. He stood up and heard God say something, and here's what he said. It's not raining until I say so. And God says he prayed earnestly. Now, before I come back to Elijah, let's connect this with Hebrews 11, 23 and 24. Hebrews 11, 23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He didn't mention pray one time in that verse. He mentioned believe one time, and he mentioned say three times. And you're going to have to do three times as much teaching on the saying as you do the believing. Because the people have faith. They just won't use it. They just won't release it. They just won't get it up in their mouth. Let me give you an example. How many believe we're created in the image of God? How many of you believe that God created the earth by faith-filled words? Says so in Hebrews 11, does it not? Did it ever occur to you, Brother J.D., that there's stuff in heaven that exists that's not down here? I mean, you're reading your Bible. When we go to heaven, there's going to be stuff up there still up there. It's just as tangible, just as substantive, just as real, but it's not in earth. So how can we have in earth what we have in earth? We don't have in earth everything God could have put in earth. We only have in earth what God said. Oh, come on in. You need to understand that's exactly the way your world's going to operate. Everything you can do is not what's going to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is the things that by faith you say. That's the only things that get transferred out of the spirit realm to the natural realm is the things that your faith brings up in your mouth. Oh, come on now. This is huge. Because if you get a revelation of this, you'll begin to understand why you got what you got. And why you don't have what you ought to have, because you should have had it by now. It's because you won't transfer it. The problem is not that you don't have faith. The problem is you're not using it. Now let's go a little deeper in this. Mark 11, 23, whosoever shall say. Whosoever means you. God's no respecter of persons. But now isn't it interesting that in verse 24, he says, therefore I say. Oh, my goodness. So Jesus wanted to have what he said, so he turned right around and said it. What did he want to have? What did Jesus want to have? Jesus wanted you to be able to have whatever you asked for. So he transferred to you the ability to get your prayer answered. Oh, God. He literally turned right around and delegated to you the authority to do what he himself did. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that those things which he believes in his heart shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what's he doing? Moving the mountain of unanswered prayer out of their life. Moving it. Just breaking it. This old traditional idea that God says yes sometimes and maybe sometimes and no sometimes, are you kidding me? When 2 Corinthians 1:20 says all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. So be it, it's done, we got it. It is finished, all his works are finished from the foundation of the world. Now we need to see that he mentions pray, he does mention pray in the 24th verse. And what we need to understand is our saying is praying. Oh, come on now.
That's true.
Now hear me, hear me. And the reason a lot of praying doesn't work is because prayer is nothing more than a vehicle to release faith-filled words. I mean, you came here in a vehicle, in a truck or a car. All prayer is a vehicle to release words. So when you're saying, you are praying. I call it the saying praying. That's why you can pray. This is why he says pray without ceasing. He doesn't mean sit down on your knees and you 24 hours and you know. No, no, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this book of the law shall never depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You're walking down the road and you're talking to stuff. You're in constant communication with the Father because you're transferring things into your world. But you need to see what's taking place here with Elijah. He says so right here. And this is big now. Let's go back then to Elijah. Because Elijah is a classic example of Mark 11, 23 and 24. Because when it stopped raining, he said something. But when it started back raining, he interceded and was in prayer. And he calls both of them fervent, effectual. I've learned in the prayer line never to lay my hands on a sick person until I'm ready to release my faith. Because when I say it, I'm ready for it to happen. See, I don't put my hands on them and sit there for 30 seconds and rub on them and pat them. So that's no faith praying. Ain't no faith praying. Huh? No, that's me searching, hoping God might do something. No. When you got authority over sickness, you deal with it. And you deal with it, and then you put your hand on it because it's done.
Yes,
amen. Glory be to God. Because you're ready to release your faith. Because faith transfers it. Transfers that anointing into that sick person's body. What's going to happen? Now the life from heaven is coming through me into them. Our faith has connected it. And boom, it's going there and acting on their disease with greater authority than the disease has to stay. The faith comes in with greater force than the disease can resist. And it's what happened with that woman's issue of blood. Now, if we'll learn how to get this moving and effective, we'll see what Elijah did here. Look at what he did. Elijah, it says, prayed earnestly, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again. And he prayed again. Say that.
And he prayed again.
And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, we could talk about some more, but this is what I really want to focus on. That drought that was set in motion would have stayed in motion unless it was reversed by an equal enough force to turn that thing around. What happens to most Christians early in their walk is they learn these things and they're fresh and they're excited about them. I've been in church 20 years and I never heard such things. Oh, glory to God, my Bible. And I mean, you just sit there and hug a telephone pole in the first 6 months. They're eating up everything. They're praying for a parking place at the mall, and they got this front row spot. Oh, Pastor, I just get everything I pray for. Oh, I just got a parking place at the mall. Oh, but see, you let them get in this for a while. You let them get in this for a while, and here's what they've done. They've got a level of victory, a level of knowledge, because they weren't where they are. They're not where they were, right? No, they've got some victory. They know how to believe God for some things. But the same energy, the same spiritual energy that brought them to that level, they're going to have to act on that situation that's in motion with the same kind of energy to change. Because what you got in motion, you set in motion. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. And maybe we just need to learn how to eliminate this drag. You know, in the jet we're flying right now, you can't just like take off and go to 41,000 feet. I mean, you're loaded down. When you're loaded down to the gills, you know, you can go to a certain altitude, but you better level off for a while and burn off some fuel and you'll step it on up. And you wait for your clearance. But it doesn't mean you're not flying. It just means you eliminate that drag, you learn the laws that govern it, and you just keep on climbing. And what I'm saying to you now is, I'm glad you're walking in victory, but this isn't all there is. I'm glad that there's some things that you've tapped into, but listen, we're still playing in the kiddie pool. There's a glory storm coming, and we've got to learn how to step on up into these things. And the way that you get out of the cycle you're in is act on it by a more powerful force. Glory be to God. And the way you set that thing in motion is you do it with faith. Because really the truth is what's in motion is what you believe. And so you're going to have to change your belief structure to change the motion of that thing. See, Elijah had to release the same spiritual energy to get it to rain again as he released the first time to get it to stop raining. So whatever you had to do to get that creative miracle you got 10 years ago, whatever energy you had to release to get that $2 million check is the energy you got to release now to bring that dream that God gave you to pass. You see what I'm saying? Because he prayed and it didn't rain, then he prayed again and it did rain. The point is you got to act on that situation or it's not going to change. What you got in motion is great because you're debt free and I'm able to give and here we're going. But if you want to go on up to that place where God's going to bring to pass what he showed you and promised you, you're going to have to act on that with the same faith you acted on that debt. Are you with me? And this is what God's people don't see. They get to a place in ministry to where they've got a level of success in God and they get so busy maintaining what they've already believed for that they get over in a system of maintenance instead of understanding that it's above only and not beneath. That it's time for us to keep on climbing. Glory be to God. All right, now, I'm going to make a statement. We're going to go to Philemon 6 and then we'll just see where we go from there. All right? But here's what he says. In James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've done some study about this in the Greek, and the reason I have is because I began to see something in the Word that matched up with what the Word was saying, and yet the way I always heard this taught was when I pray, it makes power available out here. In other words, dynamic in its working. Well, it does, but that's not what the Greek says. Here first happens. Here, he says, when you pray fervently, when you pray earnestly, it makes dynamic power available, not in the situation, in the prayer. Oh, come on. The person that's doing the praying is where it starts, generating the power. Oh, come on now. See, before it ever starts working on your situation, it's got to work on the inside of you. And until you get it settled inside of you, your mountain's not moving. Because it's not what you say to the mountain, it's what you believe with your heart when you say it. It's the force out of your heart that's going to move that mountain. It's what's dynamically working in the spirit realm on the inside of you. And if you're attacking that mountain with some uncertainty, well, I'm trying this and I'm just telling it and I'm hoping it's going to work. Listen, this is what's happening in the spirit realm. You're saying it, you're hearing it, you're believing it. You're saying it, you're hearing it. There's a cycle. But that thing starts working, 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 working. And it works in you till it gets to the point to where it works up out of you and it flies off and hits your mountain. Whew. See what I'm saying to you? And this is what people don't get. See, the Bible tells us by the Spirit of God, the Bible talks about this process. Another natural example would be boiling water. If you know anything about boiling water, if you're going to get something from one state to the next state, you've got to influence it from the outside. And you put some fire on that pot, it's not enough to put it on there for 30 seconds. You get a hot pot. You understand? But you keep that water subjected to that pot. You know what's going to happen? You can't see it, but there's molecules inside that water sitting in that liquid state, and the hotter they get, the faster they start moving. Now there's a thing in the, you know, science realm called viscosity. Viscosity is surface tension. I mean, you can actually float a needle on top of water because water has enough surface tension, it'll hold a needle. A needle will float. Now, if you put it in point first, it'll sink. But if you put it, that's how you get a battleship to float in the ocean because of viscosity. But you get that water, it's got that surface tension. In other words, it's a barrier that's keeping all those molecules in. Are you hearing me? But you subject it to heat over a period of time on a consistent basis, and you keep it subjected and keep heating it up and keep adding the heat to it and keep adding the heat to it, what's going to happen to those molecules? They're going to start moving. Next thing you know, that tension, that barrier can't hold it anymore. Poof, it's going to break out into another state, and that molecule is going to break loose, and that molecule is going to break loose. And the next thing you know, the water starts turning into a whole different state. See, this is what's happening to you when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among you. It starts moving, it's shaking, it's moving, it's in that invisible realm, but it's moving. And the thing that keeps saying, you can't have it, you can't do it, it's water. But there's a time when you keep spinning that thing, you say it, you hear it, you believe it, you say it, you hear it, you believe it, you say it, you hear it, and it goes down and you and 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 down and you until finally goes, boom! And it blows through that barrier and it comes out into a whole different state and you got it in your hands. Now, you've got to act on your situation with that kind of force, or what you have in motion right now is going to stay in motion. And if you leave it in motion for a month, it's going to stay in motion for a month. If you leave it in motion for a year, it's going to stay in motion for a year. If you leave it in motion for 10 years, it's going to stay in motion for 10 years. This is why Satan attacks you so hard in physical circumstances, so that you will be moved by what you see and back off the very thing. See, you can never get water to boil if you can put it on the heat and take it off the heat and put it on the heat and take it off the heat. Well, I believe I'm here. Woo, glory to God, man. Oh, the power. Oh, I walked out of that service last night. I just know I'm well. And then about 24 hours later, well, I thought I was healed. Man, my back's stiff this morning. You know what you're doing? Let me explain to you what you're doing. Guys, grab these stools and bring these stools up here and put them in a wad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get anything out of the Word?
Yes.
Okay, look, let's just wad those stools up right there. All together. No, all kind of in a bunch. Now what this is you don't know it, but that's a cancerous tumor. Now I can get that thing moved. Are you hearing me? So bless God, I go to church and faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Ooh, hallelujah, I heard the preacher say that his works were finished and I already have it and I believe I receive it. I don't have to see it. I believe I receive it. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I believe I receive it. Pastor prayed for me. I prayed the prayer of agreement. I believe I receive it. According to 1 Peter 2:24, I am healed. In Jesus' name, blessed be God. Cancerous tumor, you be gone. You get out of my life. Every cell die. All the roots wither. Every cell die. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, praise God. I tell you what, you wake up on Monday morning. Oh, it's all right. I tell you, I believe I received it. Pastor laid on hands on me. I believe I received it. Glory to God. How you doing this morning? Well, that chemo made me a little weak, but I'm good. By faith, I'm here. Glory to God. By His stripes, I was well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Every cell in my body is moving out of my body. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. By the time you get to Tuesday, you've Googled the internet for your symptoms. You call the doctor for some more pain meds. Huh? So by the time you get to midweek service, you're saying, I'm really trying to, I'm doing everything I can. Believe this, Pastor. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, glory to God. And he said, well, you know, man, so I tell you what I'm going to do. I believe that tumor's gone. I'm going to go back to the doctor, and he's going to do another. I've got a test set. It's on Tuesday now. I've got a test set, and I believe that tumor's gone. I believe that tumor's gone. Glory be to God. I believe that tumor's gone. And I just know that ultrasound's going to show that it's dead and it's gone out of my body. He comes out, and he says, no, it's grown a quarter of an inch. You say, well, I thought I was healed. I knew that tumor would be gone. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were framing a house And every 3 days, you went and knocked the walls down. Are you ever going to get that house built?
No.
Then why do you think that on Monday you can say, by His stripes I was healed? And on Tuesday, you can say, wow, I just don't know about this. God's going to heal me someday. Wow. You know what you're doing? You're arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Because you're shuffling chairs around while the ship's sinking. Anybody got a glass here? Is that cup full or empty? Is it
full?
That's all right. Yeah, and it's got something besides water in it. I'll just use two bottles. Give me a full bottle here. Yeah. And give me a partially full bottle. Open that up for me, please. Open both those for me. You need to understand something. I got faith in my cup here. But I got to get it out of me into my circumstance. Huh? That's the same principle as right here. Bottom line is, by His stripes I was healed. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. He sent His word and healed me and delivered me from all my destruction. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Right? And I thank Him, and I won't forget one of all of His benefits. He'll forgive all my iniquities and heal all my diseases. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. My God shall supply all my need by His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Oh, well, your liver count's up to 700 now. You see, you got to decide right now. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. What does a liver count have anything to do with whether or not you have a new liver?
Amen.
Oh, but my white blood cell count increased. So? What does that have to do with the fact that leukemia is dead?
Amen.
Nothing. Can somebody say absolutely nothing?
Absolutely.
See, you've got to understand the law of faith before you'll ever operate it with any measure of success. You've got to realize it's not abstract. You're not just like throwing darts up in heaven and hoping one of them sticks. I learned even with a shotgun when I was a kid, we used to have blackbirds fly over in strings going to roost, and I got out in the backyard and I was just practicing with my new shotgun. I loved it. I had boxes of shells. I remember the first time I started shooting, I was just absolutely sure. I mean, the sky looked like it was just covered up. It was black with blackbirds. And I'm telling you, they're coming over by the thousands. And you can hear them squawking while they're coming over. I don't ever see that much anymore, but I'm telling you. And I get out in the back, and we lived out kind of out of town in the country, and I had four boxes of shells. I'll never forget. My dad bought me four boxes of shells. That's 25 rounds to a box. That's 100 shells. And in one afternoon, I shot them all. Boom, boom, boom. I had an automatic shotgun. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And I was just sure because it was a shotgun. I mean, there's so many birds up there, all I got to do is just shoot. It's a shotgun, after all. I shot 100 shells, and I think I winged two blackbirds. That was when I decided, if I'm going to hit anything, I got to aim. I got to learn how to do this. I just got to quit going, boom, 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 boom. Oh, I believe I'm healed. Praise the Lord. No, you got to focus the crosshairs on that thing. I would dare to say that there's never been a person die of cancer who was fully persuaded of faith and was screaming at it as they died, telling it to die at the roots.
Wow.
No. Everybody that I've ever known that died of cancer got tired and got ready to go home. Cancer will bow its knee to you every time. Not once or twice, or we hope so. But you've got to tell it at its roots. You are dead. You are gone. You will not live in me. This real estate's bought, and you are trespassing. I'm covered by the blood.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
You got to get your faith effectual.
Yes.
Glory.
Oh, glory be to God. Am I helping anybody at all?
Amen.
All right. So if that's the case, then let's find a place to kind of just connect the dots before we close and get ready for what the Lord wants to do tonight. And I say closing, it means absolutely nothing, but it does mean a little something. Philemon 6. Let's read it now, and we're going to read it both in the King James and in the Amplified. Notice the communication of thy faith that it may become effectual. How does your faith become effective? By acknowledging that the tumor's grown. By acknowledging you don't have any money in your wallet.
Every good thing.
How does your faith become effective? By acknowledging, listen. By acknowledging every good thing that is where?
In you.
Now hear me. That verse says you already have it. But you have to acknowledge that you do. You're already healed, but you have to acknowledge that you are. That's the way faith gets effective. And you have to acknowledge. And so when somebody says to you, well, what do you mean you're healed? You still look like you're staggering around with that migraine. Your glasses are upside down. You say, according to Mark 11:24, I got it. Well, where do you have it? I got it right in here, see. I got it right in here. See, for a long time before we got our twin-engine airplane, I said, look at me. I'm pregnant with twins. There came a day, those wings started sticking out my sides. It got uncomfortable. That's because I was working it to the top. I mean, there came a day it had to come. It was either going to come or I was going to die giving birth because it's coming. It's kind of like the lady that says, ah! He says, don't push. She says, why? It's coming. I'm pushing. I don't care what you say. Comes a day that there's a shout and a push. Amen. Because it's so big on the inside of you, it's got to come to another state. Glory be to God. It's got to. It gets too big to stay on the inside. It's got to come on the outside. But you got to keep putting the fire to it. You got to keep pouring the water in it. You got to keep moving the chairs on it. You got to quit tearing down the walls you've been framing up. You got to start and keep on till this thing's finished and quit starting and stopping and reversing course and being wishy-washy. And this day I believe it and that day I don't believe it. And it might come. And well, this circumstance came. Dear God, I really loved what you said, Ben. I'm going to give this credit to you one time, and today's the time. When I use them now on, I'm going to say a friend of mine said. And then third time I say it, I'm going to say, Lord, the Lord showed me. But I just thought it was that one of the most dynamic things that were said all week long was what it says about the devil. Where have you come from? Walking to and fro and up and down on the earth. I thought that's the most dynamic thing I've heard said in a long time. That's the way the devil walks. I've always known. I always tell people, I'm tired of yo-yo Christians, up one day and down the next. Dear God, you know, purple Wednesdays and orange Thursdays and polka dot Fridays and black Saturdays. And dear God, when is the body of Christ going to understand that stability is the key to excellence and victory?
Amen.
That if you're wavering, you don't get anything from the Lord. You're not even supposed to think you will receive from the Lord if you waver. Christians are not supposed to go to and fro, and they're not supposed to go up and down. That's demonic. That's the testimony of the devil. I'm up on Monday and I'm down on Tuesday. It's time for us to use our faith to get hold of our emotions. Well, that's my hormones. Then use your faith to get hold of your hormones. Well, it's my glands. I know what gland it is. It's that big open one you got flapping under your nose. That's the gland you got. You got gland problem, all right. You got a heart murmur is what you got. You murmuring in your heart about the situation, trying to say the right things. You better get your heart fixed. Because until your heart is fixed, see, the covenant's established. So all that's left is for you to get established on the established covenant. And the day you do that, dear God, the barrier's going down because you're acting on it with a force that is so much greater than the force that's in operation right now. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And every one of us has this on the inside of us, and if we'll just operate in it, there is nothing we will be unable to do. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Woo! So the communication of our faith will become effective the day we start acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. Amen. You got to say, I've already got it. I've got it. Where do you have it? I don't see it. I got it in me. You don't have to see it. I know I got it. You don't have to see it for me to know I got it. I don't have to see it for me to know I got it. I got it in me, glory to God. I acknowledge that I have received my healing on the inside of myself. I got it in me. Somebody say, I got it in me. See, most believers never get the revelation that you don't receive divine healing on your body. The power of God can come on your body and slam you to the floor and you get up and go home with your tumor. You don't receive it in your body. You receive it in your spirit. When that divine healing comes inside of you, your own spirit will give life to your body. That tumor can't live in that real estate because that's your body. Possess that ground by your spirit. Let your spirit of life take hold of that thing and tell your body, no, no, dear God, fever doesn't live here. No, dear God, viruses don't live here. No, dear God, flu doesn't live here. No, dear God, diabetes don't live here. No, high blood sugar cannot stay. Sugar, I address you in the name of Jesus. You are named in His name. You're coming out of my blood. You're coming out of my blood. You're coming out of my blood. Pancreas, you're going to work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But instead, we stagger to the coffee pot and start reading the newspaper. And we finally get around to God's report. We got so much doubt and unbelief in us, it's hard to believe it. Yeah, that's right. You got to listen. I'm telling you, you cannot stay up with current events and get current with God. You start walking by faith, and the world will go through a crisis you don't know anything about. The world can go through 4 or 5 crises, and you don't even know you was in one. One day it came alive on the inside of me about faith. This wasn't too long ago. Lord said to me, you know, it's just this thought came, why do you preach faith so much? Why do you preach faith so much? And actually, this got stirred up in me because I was watching an old podcast by Dad Hagin, and somebody asked him that question. And I heard that question, and why do you preach faith so much? And he just made a couple of comments. And I'm telling you, all it took was 1 or 2 comments, and my insides just went boom, like a volcano. And I tell you, Spirit of God started talking to me. I said, well, I preach faith because I can't be saved without it, according to Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith. I preach faith because you can't live for God without it, according to Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:37, the just shall live by faith. I preach faith because you can't please God without it, according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. I preach faith because you can't walk the Christian walk without it, because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says you walk by faith and not by sight. I preach faith because you can't enter into the Christian fight without it. It's the only fight we're supposed to fight. And so according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, we're to fight the good fight of faith. I preach faith because you can't move mountains without it. But according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, with faith I can move every mountain out of my way. I preach faith because you can't have answered prayer without it. But according to Mark 11, 24 and James 1, 6 through 8, I can have every prayer answered by faith. I preach faith because you can't run the Christian race without it. But according to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, if I'll run my race by faith for the joy set before me, I will walk to the finish line and I'll receive everything promised me. I preach faith because you can't operate the gifts of the Spirit and the signs of the kingdom without it, because according to Romans 12:6, he that prophesies according to the proportions of these faith, and Mark 16 says these signs follow them that believe. I preach faith because you cannot obtain, possess, and inherit the promises without it. But Hebrews 3 says they entered not in because of unbelief, but Hebrews 11:2 says the elders obtained a good report through faith. So Hebrews 6:12 says follow those who faith and patience have inherited the promises. I preach faith because you can't access grace without it, and Romans 5:2 says by faith we access this grace wherein we stand. I preach faith because you can't have the substance of your hopes and dreams without it. But Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I preach faith because you can't have victory over the world without it. But 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. I'd say faith is pretty doggone important.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory be to God. Faith was never a camp. Faith was never a group of churches. Faith was never something invented by Brother Hagin. Faith was not some type of an E.W. Kenyon doctrine that was heresy. God created the world by faith. He moves and operates by faith. And Jesus made no bones about it. When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? When He comes back, you better be found with some faith. 1 Peter says that your faith might be found at His appearing. Let me tell you, when God comes back, He's not going to be looking for how big a church you built. When God comes back, He's not going to be looking for all those pony races on the wall and how many Sunday school records you had and how much vacation Bible school, and He's not going to read your business card that you were the high apostle, bishop, prophet of started 5 churches. He don't care about that. He's wanting to find out if you got faith. And do you want me to tell you why? I'm glad you asked. Believe I will. I'll tell you why. Have you ever read that little passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 3? It says some of us are going to stand before Him with wood, hay, and stubble. And others are going to stand before Him with gold, silver, and precious stone. And listen to me. Listen to me. When Jesus comes, He's going to be looking for something. Amen. He's hoping to find faith that is much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. You can do all kinds of Christian work. You can say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out devils in Your name. Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in Your name. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, never knew you. What? Yeah, I'm telling you right now, lots of Christian work has no eternal value. There's a reason I stick with faith. Because I've learned it's the only thing that's going to go with me when I leave this planet. I would encourage you to walk through your house, preachers, to walk through your church. Just take an inventory of your life and start asking yourself some questions. What do I have that faith got me? And what have I done that it took faith to do it? Did you believe that house in, or did you just pick out the one you liked and go to the bank and see if you could get a good rate? Enjoy it, because this is all you're going to have it. Sure is quiet. Y'all were shouting a minute ago. When I was talking about moving mountains, you were shouting. See, this is what you got to understand. See, the Christians, they don't understand faith, because if they did, when you told them they could believe for it, they'd go, oh, you mean it's under the authority of my faith? Dear God, if my faith will get it, I can get it. But they don't act that way. You tell them they got to believe God for it, oh, you mean I got to believe for it? Which proves to me they don't have a revelation of faith. Because if they did, they would understand faith is the great equalizer. I mean, you may have access to somebody's got money. You may have a different a degree on the wall. You might have a PhD. You might have. But let me tell you, there's three things in the kingdom. There's more than this, I'm sure. But these three things are the most significant things there are that, as far as God's concerned, are the great equalizers across the board. One of them, seed. The next one is the tithe. And the third one is your faith. Because I'm just going to tell you, there's no such thing as white faith, black faith, male faith, female faith, young faith, old faith, rich faith, poor faith. There's just faith. And God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's a faith God, and He will move for you based on and behalf of you operating by faith. And He'll do the same thing for you when you believe as He does for me when I believe. Seed is the same way. Sure, of course it is. It's access to life. That's what people don't get. See, faith supersedes time. Of course, it's the fastest way. It pulls your tomorrow into today. Otherwise you're never going to have it, because tomorrow's going to stay tomorrow. See, if it's always in tomorrow, you're never in tomorrow. You're always in today. So as long as you've got it in tomorrow, it's always going to be one day ahead of you. Because your dream is moving as fast as you are. You've got to do something that's faster. You've got to overtake your dream and bring your tomorrow into you today. And only faith can do that. You got to, glory to God. Whew. Seed, same way. When you plant a seed in the ground, it doesn't say, I'm not going to grow for you because you're tall. I'm not going to grow for you because you're short. I'm not going to grow for you because you can lift 400 pounds. I'm not going to grow for you because you're a weakling and you don't ever work out in the gym. I'm not going to grow for you because you're female. I'm not going to grow for you because you're male. I'm not going to grow for you because you're Panamanian. I'm not going to grow for you because you don't have any hair. I'm not going to grow. The seed doesn't care. All seed knows how to do is grow. It doesn't care who plants it. I learned this a long time ago in Texas State Department of Corrections. On death row, they were out there eating the crops they farmed inside the razor wire of prison grounds. Murderers, thieves, rapists were planting corn seeds, and it grew corn for them just exactly like it did to the farmer out here that had never committed a crime. I want you to understand that seed does not say, I'm not going to grow for you because you committed a crime. I'm not going to grow for you because you committed a murder. Oh, well, you can't grow corn in this prison because it's a women's prison, and seed doesn't grow for women. You understand this? Seed is the great equalizer. And one of the most dynamic ones of all is the tithe.
Amen.
Tithe has so much power. It connects heaven and earth to all of those things. But one of my favorite things, Brother Jack, the tithe does, is it puts everybody on the same economic playing field with God.
That's true.
It's the umbilical cord to the kingdom. Because you can make $100 this week and give 10. And somebody else sitting next to you in church can make $10,000 this week and give $1,000, and both of them gave the same amount.
Amen.
That's
right.
True. That's true.
Because the tithe is the tithe regardless of the zeros.
Right.
And the tithe will do for the $10 tither the same thing it'll do for the $100,000 tither. Oh, God Almighty. You see, God is not keeping anybody out. He's looking for ways to get them in. You can go anywhere and have revival. Well, yeah, but you don't know this area of Houston. You better back up a little bit.
Right.
Well, but we fought here, and we've had these in these territorial spirits. Whoa, you better back up a little bit on me now. Because you're saying doesn't agree with the Word. Because the Word doesn't say there's some demons defeated and some not. The Word doesn't say anywhere in it. Huh? This is a special group of demons, you know, that God gave permission to camp out over North Houston.
Amen.
To thwart the plan of God. No, no. Let me tell you what's giving those demons power. You told them they were strong. Whoa, man, they love that praise. That's a dark city. They said, yeah. It's dark. See, demons are just like that. Demons will put a 12-gauge shotgun up against your chin.
They'll try.
That's the point. Because their whole game is intimidation.
That's right.
Because if you don't flinch, they know they're done for. According to Philippians chapter 1, if we don't fear, it is a sure sign of our reception and an absolute certainty of our enemy's destruction. So the moment you stand nose to nose with the devil and say, go ahead, big boy, fire your best shot, because when the dust settles, we're going to be shipping your saddle home.
Amen.
Well, that's big talk in the church house. Oh, well. Yeah, it is. But maybe that's why all the scared rabbits run to church. Wolves cry loudest from the pack. We got to start reigning in life instead of life reigning on us.
Yes.
We got to start living life on purpose instead of taking life as it comes.
Yes.
We got to get our faith effectual.
Amen.
There's some things that I won't go any further to get into. But I've been preaching all week toward operating in the anointing. And I think one of the most important things I could leave you with is this thought. Because this to me, you know, I believe in the principle of partnership. And sometimes the Lord instructs me to teach people about partnership and all of that in these meetings because He's instructed me to do that. But, you know, the partnership He told me to talk to you about today was not partnership with an earthly ministry, although I believe He'll lead you in whatever way you need to partner with us. That's not the point. The bigger picture is you have a covenant partner and He is the creator of the universe.
Amen.
There is blood between you and your covenant partner. And we need to understand, and I'm going to leave you with these thoughts. We need to understand that a covenant is made between two parties. If you don't hear anything else I've said, please hear this. A covenant is made between two parts, two parties. Now that covenant, hear me, that covenant can be initiated to the benefits by either party. I'm absolutely convinced when God, because God visited me this and he showed me this, when he started talking to me, I've been preaching for 30 years before I got revelation of this. So I know, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not necessarily the slowest guy.
Amen.
So I know if I've been preaching for 30 years and reading the Word and preaching and doing what I've done, and I'm just now truly, fully understanding this, that there's so many people that wouldn't even have a, don't even have a clue. They're like I was.
Yeah.
You know, you see miracles and you wonder why they happen. Well, how is it? Why does God, why does like, and here's somebody that I've been believing God and I ain't got my healing yet. No, well, and they have zero understanding about how it works and why it works. They have little or no knowledge that the covenant is made between two parties and there's blood between those parties. And either partner can initiate the benefits. That's why in the gifts of the Spirit, one of those gifts is plural. Gifts, that's a plural word, of healings, that's a plural word. When the gifts of healings go into operation, the heavenly partner is initiating the benefit of the covenant. But the way to keep that, see those miracles, you talked about the lady, the blind lady. All right? When she was healed, it's obvious she wasn't healed on her own faith. It's obvious she didn't initiate that benefit. That God loved her and was merciful, and he initiated it. But for her to keep perception of it, she's got to come into an agreement with what he initiated. Because even if you didn't use your faith to get it, even if it's a gift of the Spirit that he initiates that brings it to you, it's going to take your faith to keep it. Because this is a covenant. And either party can initiate the covenant on their end. So if you see a promise in the Word of God, you can initiate the covenant and invoke him to respond. And what I want you to understand is he most often initiates on his end of the covenant based on mercy. There's four places in the New, in the Old Testament where it says he keeps covenant with mercy. Say that out loud. God keeps covenant with mercy. Here's why. Because he is love. The royal law of love is the highest law, spiritual, civil, or natural. Because he is love, because the whole world was created by him, it does not violate his word, it does not violate his nature, and it does not violate spiritual law for him to move in behalf of anyone, anywhere, at any time, just because he loves. Now hear me, that's how you got saved. The cross, you didn't initiate. Now to get the benefit of what he initiated, you got to believe it. On your end, you got to believe what he did on the cross and step into it. But now that you're a child, you're no longer a servant. See, the servant can't go to the boss and initiate the raise. But the son can go to the daddy and say, Daddy, can I take our boat out today? Because it's a totally different relationship. Oh, come on now. Because the sons have everything. Are you with me? So when the son hears the father say, by his stripes you were healed, that means I already am. I'm acknowledging the good thing that's in me. So I, by faith on my end, can initiate the power to connect with me from my other covenant partner. Now my faith will be met by heaven's power because my faith is in his mercy. He loved me so much that by his stripes I was healed. I believe he loves me so much he wanted me well. He's provided so many ways for me to be well. He doesn't want me to do without this. He wanted to heal me yesterday, but I didn't initiate the covenant. He wanted to heal me a month ago, but I didn't initiate the covenant. But if I will just acknowledge, if the communication of my faith will become effectual and I'll just acknowledge the covenant and initiate my end of the covenant, he will keep covenant with mercy, which is exactly what Bartimaeus did with his shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, he initiated it with his faith, but it reached out and touched the mercy on the other covenant partner, and it began to flow, and the next thing you know, his blind eyes are open. So God initiates his end on almost always by mercy. We initiate on our end by faith, and predominantly faith in His mercy. Oh, come on now. Because faith works by love, and love never fails, and God cannot change, and healing is a mercy of God. So anybody that believes that anywhere, anytime can receive healing at any minute, because God's not the one holding out. He doesn't have an appointed time. There's not a set day. He's not going to heal you one day. He already healed you, and it's time for you to acknowledge it and initiate it on your end. Acknowledge what He's done for you. I'm the healed of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God didn't send me here to fail. He didn't send me here for demons to stop me short, to rout me, to steal my money, to take my people, to infect my leadership, to cause my relationships to be dysfunction, to tear my marriage apart, to destroy my kids and grandkids. No, 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 1,000 times no. No is an anointed word. And Satan, you've taken your last step in bringing curse into my world. But you've got to decide that I am once and for all, absolutely, completely, every whit of me wholesale, gone through the veil. I'm committed to the kingdom life of faith. I am a faith man through and through. You cut me, you're going to find faith in my blood. You break my bones, you're going to find faith in my marrow, because the just shall live by faith. Woo! Glory be to God Almighty. Hey, hey, I'm a faith man. Yeah. Somebody say, yeah, well, if you pray for somebody and they die, did it ever occur to you nobody's getting out of this planet alive? You don't go like, here, here's your get out of the planet without dying card. Faith is to keep your body alive till you finish your course and keep your spirit alive throughout eternity.
Amen.
Oh, see, you don't get this, but you're about to right now. Faith is the only thing we do on earth that we won't quit doing when we're in heaven.
That's right. That's right.
You will still live by faith in heaven.
That's right.
It's a heavenly substance. And if you don't believe me, take some time this afternoon to read 2 Corinthians 5. And you'll find that we'll live by faith and not by sight while we're in this body, groaning. But one day there's a house coming on us. Whew. And this earthly tent will be dissolved. And we're still going to be living by faith in that other glorified body.
Amen.